Merry Christmas from Fujoshi, NYC. Right here.
May.
We're recording this episode on the 24th of December. So Merry Christmas to all you Fujoshi out there. Today's episode is going to be a bit special because we're going to talk about some of the episodes we've been watching. Some of them are the last episode for this week. And of course, next week we're going to talk about a few other last episodes that we come to the end of December. Well, let's open, as usual, with stuff we've been watching and reading. Stuff that I've been playing, actually, is some more of Detective Pikachu. Because I'm just replaying a couple of the chapters that I played before, but I was missing some of the Pika prompts. Like last time, some of the Pika prompts are a little hard for me to get to. And I may have to look at game facts again to actually prompt the scene for Pikachu to talk. What have you been playing, May?
I played a little Nightshade.
You were telling me about the Seiyu for Nightshade.
Oh, Midorikawa is in it, but I don't think I came across this character yet. I'm still in the beginning.
Mm. You mentioned that the main character for Nightshade is Hatano Wataru.
He's probably the main one because he's listed first.
What is Nightshade about thus far?
Ninjas.
Nice.
You're like a special ninja because you're the daughter of two other clans that were joined together after Oda Nobunaga like obliterated them or something.
Is this also another visual novel?
Yeah. In the beginning, they ask you if you want to keep the default name or like change it. They don't tell you that the benefit to keeping is that they'll say your name.
What is the name of your character?
Enju.
Nice.
But I just left it anyway because, what's that other series with Cardia?
Code Realize.
Code Realize will say her name and Hakuoki.
Will actually say, like, Chizuru. Yeah. Has the other character says Enju yet?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think the first character you meet is, Usaka, like, whoever does Usaka's voice in Dakaichi.
Oh, same Seiyu. So tell us more about Nightshade when you continue playing more of it. Have you continued Hakuoki yet?
No.
Not recently. Since you're playing the second part of the game, have you finished any of the routes yet for Hakuoki?
Sanon.
Sanon's route is the only one you finished?
Yes.
Okay. Let me know when you get to Saito. That one is my favorite.
Which one's Saito? Is that the one I say he's boring?
Could be, because he's the one with, like, long purple hair and doesn't have an opinion about anything. So for
No, I like him. The one I think is boring is the normal one. What's it? Shinpachi's friend.
You mean the tall one. The super tall one.
Yeah.
The one that doesn't become a Rasetsu.
Yeah.
Sano.
It's too normal.
Well, that's the reason why, because he's the only one that doesn't really become a Rasetsu. Like, I don't know anything about the new characters in Hakuoki, but yeah, I know for Sanosuke, he's the only one out of the original route that doesn't become a Rasetsu. And as you said, everything goes really swimmingly well for the couple because he doesn't become a Rasetsu, and yeah, the only thing I would say that's hilarious is that he has a very close relationship with Shinpachi. And that's the fun part about his route is that, like, instead of obsessing over Chizuru, you're, like, obsessing over the fact that Sano doesn't get to be with Shinpachi for the rest of the game.
Shinpachi becomes a Rasetsu.
Yeah, for the new game. Yeah, I look forward to playing his route, because I haven't played the new Hakuoki yet, so, or the newer Hakuoki, because it's been out for some time. As for stuff we've been watching and reading, May, you got the newest for Ichoko.
Yeah, but I didn't read any of it, so I didn't mention it.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk more about it later on, but I'm so happy that we talked about it last time because, as I said...
We talked about Volume 2 last time.
Yeah, exactly. And that, what is it, June is the one that's releasing it. Just glad that they're, like, actually, like, you know, doing what they said they were going to do, which is release more BL. I'm really surprised that Ichoko came out so quickly at the heels of the second volume. Yeah, because it's only been a few months in between. So good job, June. Let's get on into Banana Fish, because today we actually watched the last episode for Banana Fish. I've been showing May clips of it because she hasn't been watching the episodes regularly, but I've been showing May all the BL clips, basically all the relationship clips between AG and Ash, because that's the most important part of the series, is like the building of their relationship together. What do you think of the last episode?
It was sad.
It was very sad. I wasn't actually gonna watch it today, but May convinced me, because she said, like, because we're gonna be watching Dakaichi together, so we might as well watch Banana Fish because it's so sad and we can watch something happy afterwards. So a little spoiler about what's going on in both series. But yes, Banana Fish ends the entire series. And yes, it does follow the manga, so it's the same manga ending. There are differences between the manga. I can't go into really detail about that because I haven't touched the manga in such a long time. But they tell the story very, very well. So, and how the resolution is, I just think it's beautiful, because we don't get to see Ash and Eiji together at all anymore, but we get to see scenes of them thinking about each other. Yeah, and Sing actually delivers the letter that Eiji wrote to Ash. So we get that moment.
It reminds me of Shanghai Love Story.
What happens in Shanghai Love Story? Can you remind me?
I'm not even sure if that's the title. I'm almost positive that's the title, though. It was remade once with Nadia Chen in it. But, like, the woman that he likes, she's actually the daughter of, like, his enemy or something. So he had to kill him. So I think she couldn't forgive him and she left. But I think, like, she wrote him a letter, and then he was at the bar. He was thinking about her, and I think he was going to see her, and then he got shot or something.
Oh, that's so sad. Because you said that that is done by Nadia Chen, so it's actually a Chinese movie?
Yeah, it's a remake. Well, that's a TV series, a remake.
Oh, I see.
The old one is old. Well, this one is old too now, but...
I know the I know of the Shanghai Love Story. I don't know any details from it aside from that, like the storyline of what it actually is. Yeah. So yeah, as you said, it's very similar to it. Huh.
Because her father was a bad person.
As bad as Ash's like handler.
But she still loved her father, because that's her father. So she couldn't forgive him. But I don't remember the ending exactly, like why he thought he was going to see her and why she wrote the letter, what the letter said.
Oh, I see. Well, as for Banana Fish, I feel like they really made it much more beautiful. But as I said, like, I have to go back to the manga to see how the ending actually, actually played out. But in the TV series is that Sing finds Ash in the library. And so it's like a very quiet moment, and then they meet outside of the library, which is obviously Bryant Park, and then this entire like ending happens in that area right outside of Bryant Park, down the block of like Sunrise Mart. So it's like, it's a very crowded area. So May was pointing out that any killing that happens over there usually would be spotted. So she was saying, like, maybe in the 80s when this series takes place, the original series takes place in the 80s.
They all have smartphones.
They don't. Exactly.
It's like an imaginary 80s somewhere.
Yeah. Well, like, they definitely modernized the series, because instead of whatever war they were fighting back then, they made it the Iraqi War. Yeah. So they, like, so they did modernize it. Obviously we don't know who the presidents are and all that kind of stuff, like, but they did bring it to the present time, obviously with smartphones and stuff. But like, yeah, when the manga was taking place in the 80s,
okay, I don't know how dangerous Bryant Park was in the 80s, but if somebody was shot in front of the Bryant Park right now, somebody would notice.
Yeah, exactly. That was a surprising part, and it got to a point where, like, Ash move from the library, also, if outside Ash library,
is bleeding to death inside the library. Yeah, he should smell that, if not see it.
Exactly. Like, we should see a lot more blood. But it was, but the way that the anime made it, they really made it everything very picturesque. Like,
it was very beautiful.
It was very beautiful. Like, all lights and everything, which like doesn't make it more realistic, but it made it really like much more meaningful that way.
And I don't like that it wasn't revenge. For shorter, it was like, don't take Sing away.
Yeah, because that's different from what happened in the manga.
Because I feel like if it's revenge for shorter, then it's like you can't run away from stuff. But it's like, don't take Sing away. It's like, oh, finally did something good, and it's like, oh, you get
actually for that. That made a lot of sense, and that's weird because I thought they were gonna go with that kind of storyline because they really pushed for. Like, up until the very last couple of episodes where they're really, like, you know, seeing why are you, like, protecting Ash when he kills Shorter. They were really going for that storyline. So, holding on to that thread, like, even though Shorter died, you know, episodes ago. But just really holding on to that thread. And I thought they were going to end with, like, oh, revenge for Shorter. Because that was the original reason why he got killed. Because he was, like, yo. But then, no. They pulled up the thread that, you know, that Lao was like, Ash, why are you siding with Ash? And like, you know, that kind of scene. Like, I wonder what kind of, like, if they're trying to really push for Lao and Sing's relationship together as brothers. Yeah, but Ash going back into the library and then passing over there. Someone finding him, except doesn't, like, you know, doesn't check on him. Yeah, and the entire, like, you know...
I'm sure that he's bleeding as much as people think. He must smell like blood.
Yeah, because blood has a very... Yeah, it's a very metal smell, so...
Yeah, like in Fear Street, whenever people are bleeding, it always says, like, how it smells.
But yeah, I guess, like, the anime really want to make it as, like, you know, as beautiful as possible. With that kind of relationship. And we got the little flashbacks between the two of them being together through the years. Through the years. Damn, they haven't been together that long, actually. Through the months. Correct me. It's like, it hasn't been years. It's only been, like, you know, as most months that they've been together.
Maybe a year.
I don't even think it has been a year. Yeah. Okay, first of all, what kind of visa has Eiji came down to America as?
Well, wasn't he considered kidnapped for a while? Or?
Yeah, he was considered kidnapped for a while. Yeah, but he did come to the U.S. technically for work, but it was only on a temporary work visa, I guess, because he's helping as an assistant. But that's so sweet because, yeah, I didn't realize that... I don't know if that was in the manga or not, but I didn't realize that Eiji gave Ash an airplane ticket to go with him. Throughout the entire time, I was like, oh, just go to Japan. And Eiji was like, I wish I never taught him how to speak Japanese. I was like, yes, you should never teach someone how to say goodbye. Because that's so sad. Oh, okay, I've talked enough about banana fish because it's just so sad to me. Let's talk about something happier, May. Takayuchi. So, tell us what happened to Takayuchi.
They got rings.
They got rings. You're jumping ahead, though. Well, that is the happy part. Well, let's torture Saijo some more.
I like the elevator scene.
Between Saijo and Azumaya? Yeah. So, we continue from the last episode where Azumaya is continuing his plan to save Saijo, though Saijo doesn't know it. And basically, we hear a lot about the news, Azumaya and Yurie's rings, those black rings. Why would anyone want to get black rings, though? As an engagement ring.
Is it? It starts with him looking at the rain or something.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about how everything was so dreary. Those, like, I forgot what the trope is called, but emotional, basically emotional weather. Everything is a reflection of my heart, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, And Saijo gets to go to Sasaki-san's house and meets Nana, Sasaki's daughter.
Well, he's met her before. Yeah, we get to meet her.
This is her cute kid, Nana. And then
someday she'll be an idol, the way she's talking.
Exactly. yo, and she's like already got, and she already got sights set on Takato. Yeah, and then Takato goes into, like, Saijo-san goes into all these, like, talks about relationship, what does rings mean to you, and then, of course, we go, Sasaki's like, Saijo actually says the obvious, like, you know what's been going on, you know, like, you know, we were together.
So, like, I broke up with him.
And then, yeah, like, it's like, I'm sorry that I've been such a terrible, like, that I caused so much trouble for you.
Well, Sasaki's like, you should be greedy sometimes.
Yeah. And actually, that kind of gave him the push, but in his heart, but he still wants to, like, save Azumaya. Even though Azumaya's got already plans of his own.
Well, he thinks Azumaya already met somebody else.
Yeah. Because he doesn't know of the plan. He just thinks, like, oh, he's already with Yurie.
Until the next day when it's like, Tobun's false report.
Exactly. Like, Azumaya's like, big reveal, haha. We were just pulling you along. We were just doing this because, you know,
part of the drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Takato-san's really clumsy and we plan to live together.
Yeah, we plan to live. Azumaya just basically, like, as you said, like, this big reveal is so much like Haru Odeta. It's like, just really apparently on the screen. No.
Well, I feel like Haru Odeta was Kato trying to trap Iwaki.
Yeah, I feel like this was a kind of a trap too, because, well, like,
this is Azumaya trying to trap the media, like, they can't say anything, yeah, if he says it first.
Exactly. But then he did do the drop, like, yo, by the way, we're moving together, so Saijo, you can't say no anymore. Everything about it. And then I love the fact that, like, everyone in the show business is like, yeah, we have a stupid Saijo moment. Gotta share the stupid Saijo moment with on Twitter. So everyone just starts going up. Poor Saijo. But Sasaki's like, it's okay. You're more popular now. You have... What do you say about anime? It's like, it's cute. He's cuter now that he's clumsy.
Yeah, something like that.
It is. It's like, it's very heartwarming. It's like, it's that kind of thing. It's like, they know Saijo as the serious actor, but now he's got a cute side that everyone in show business knows about, but, like, no one really talks about it because Saijo gets into a drunken fit every single time he drinks.
It does, like, Saijo trying to wear another staff member's sweater home or something.
I wonder, it was so funny that Ayagi was like, yeah, I'm going to go in on this too. I'm going to post stuff about, like, Saijo. Too bad he doesn't, like, post anything about him, like, you know, doing the edamame. Taking edamame apart. So you can't have any of my edamame. So anyway, all the show business comes together to support Saijo. Yeah, I was surprised because I didn't realize what Azumaya was going when he was like, by the way, I'm in that photo. I was like, huh? Like, calling it out on it. But yeah, he did a good job with it. Yeah, Azumaya really had a plan. Saijo was just like, I have half of a plan.
Well, because Saijo's plan was to sacrifice himself. Azumaya wanted to save both of them. But, like, it reminds me of a Holic in the spider web where... Is it like Watanuki wanted to take all the blame for the spiderweb thing, but Domeki said they both broke the spiderweb, so they both should share the punishment or something?
Yeah, I remember that part. That's actually a really good symbolism of relationship, because that's exactly how it is. Doesn't matter what kind of things they go through, one person shouldn't take all of the blame for it. Both of them should work together on that. Azumaya, the bigger man in this one. But Saijo takes an active role. He goes and buys the rings. Gold rings. And he's the one that actually picks Azumaya up from his work. And we have that beautiful scene at their house. And then more Saijo crying, of course. And in the morning, we find out that Azumaya has, like, an engraving machine in his household for some reason.
Maybe that used to be a part-time job before he was an actor and a pizza delivery guy.
He's starting to sound like Toya from, like, Cardcaptor Sakura. He's like, he's done everything. Yes, engraving in his... And then they just, like, threw it in. And Saijo's like, what? What do you have over there? Even Saijo's calling him out on it. It's like, what do you have over there? Like, what is it that's... It's like, what do you have in the other room? All of these things. Azumaya has a lot of tools.
Azumaya has a lot of talents. Doesn't he have sneaky photos of the photographer?
Oh my god, yes. Azumaya has you know, used to work for the FBI, Secret Service. He found out that, you know, the photographer likes cream buns. And as you said, very boring.
Sneak photography is never okay.
Yes, we needed a like a public like announcement for that. It's all over the episode.
No. Only I get to take sneaky photos of Sideshow. Sideshow's like scary.
Exactly.
How can you say that with such a straight face?
Oh, but Sideshow said something really sweet to somebody else with a straight face. Remember when Yuri said to Azumaya, like, if you ever, like, you know, wanted a ring, or did you ever want, like, a ring on your finger or something like that, you can come see me.
Yeah, and put one on your left hand.
Yeah, exactly, on your left hand. And then Saijo's like, all of his hands are contracted to me.
Yeah.
That is beautiful, because aside from Sasaki, he actually told somebody outside, you know, of that circle to Yurie. Well, Yurie already knows their relationship and what's been going on, so...
Azumaya told it.
Yeah, exactly. But Saijo actually is like, you know, stepped up and actually said something like that.
So, I've been wondering, Yurie looks smart. She, even if Azumaya didn't say it in so many words, she would know, like, once he asked her for help. But does Narumiya know, or is he just, like, always around to help for no reason?
Oh, the shorty?
Yeah.
Okay, after that point, I think he actually knows. Because I think everyone... Or unless, like, maybe he only knows as much as what, like, the entire studio knows, which is basically, oh, they're doing a publicity stunt kind of thing. In my heart, I have a feeling that he does know, and he's just, like, teasing Ayagi for the hell of it.
That's a very good question, though. Do you think he'll turn out to be the seme?
He'll turn out to be the seme. I'm telling you, Ayagi wants to be the seme, but he can't handle being the seme. Here's someone else who cannot handle being the seme. Usaka. We have a second to last episode reveal about Usaka's boyfriend.
Arisu.
Like, can you tell us anything about him?
Oh, I don't really know anything about him. It seemed like he should be famous because they were like, he had like a bunch of bodyguards or something looking for him.
Yeah, but he's got, he looks like he has vampire teeth. And he's like all that fur.
And a lollipop.
And a lollipop. Yes, it's not a cigarette, it's a lollipop. So, Usaka...
The bodyguards were not in the episode, if in case anybody wonders if they missed something.
It's, yeah, just, no, there was no bodyguards.
It was in another chapter of the comic.
Yeah. Next reveal of Usaka's boyfriend.
If they decide to do the next chapter in the next episode, then it should have handcuffs.
In the snow.
Dude, there wasn't any snow. That's why I'm not sure the next episode is like something else.
Yeah, well, that preview could also just be like, you know, the studio's way of saying Merry Christmas to us, because Japan is celebrating Christmas this week, obviously. Because as you said, like, you know, May, was there any Christmas episode in the series?
I don't think so.
Yeah, nothing thus far.
Yeah. I didn't read all of it, but it didn't seem. Like, because they end the episode with Usaka telling them about the two-man play that they have to be in.
Yeah.
And, like, the handcuff thing should follow after that.
I see. So the next episode is going to be...
Who knows?
Exactly. Who knows what's going to be the next episode?
I don't mind if it's a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
They could frame the flashback thing around, like, a Christmas thing theme, but, like, then we don't get the handcuff thing.
We'll just get a heartwarming thing. So next episode is up in the air. That's pretty cool, though. I like it. Dakayuchi has been surprising us a lot. So I hope the merchandise does well. I hope the BD does well. I haven't listened to any of the drama CDs for Dakayuchi yet. The thing that you found, there's obviously, like, they put out manga shorts, one-shots in drama CDs. What was the drama CD that you were, one-shot short that you were looking at?
Oh, I don't know. I was just looking through the scanlation thingies, and one of them... So it was like a side story from BLCD, but I don't know if BLCD refers to like a CD actually or something else. But it looked like Azumaya turned into a kid.
Yeah. Most likely, when you're talking about BLCD, it's the BL drama CD.
So I don't know if that's, like, if it's a title for something, like another group, another whatever.
I see. Because I had like a couple of one-shots for... I was gonna say Gakko in Heaven, but it's not Gakko in Heaven. But it also comes with like one shot like manga shorts for it.
Well, so I actually have a phone case of like that specific story, the one where Azumai looks like he turned into a kid, and I was like confused. I was like, why is there a kid in this?
It is their child. No, it's Azumai as a child. I like it when they do that. Like the mangaka would just like create, you know, little stories like AUs of themselves. Because it's telling me about Loveless, because Tokoga Sensei came out with a one shot short also of, you know, Ritsuka as an adult, you know, was it 18 years old? 19, 20 years old? I forgot how old Sobi is. And Sobi as, like, you know, the 12-year-old kid. So, little AUs like that. But what they did. Ah, something else we watched. We watched the last episode for Honda-san.
I'd be happy to wear a Christmas hat. I wish they made us wear Christmas hats in the office.
I know.
Well, you don't or a mochi hat. Well, it might get kind of hot. But
yes.
So, I'd be willing to wear it if I could also wear my lolly wig.
Will that fit around the mochi hat? Oh, you look so cute though, because the wig will come, the wig bangs and everything will come out.
Pin that Santa hat too, but I don't know what the mochi hat would do. Hey, we watched Our Shining Days.
Oh yeah, that was the other, that was something else we watched.
I was talking about lolly wigs and I remembered.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after Honda. But yeah, last episode of Honda-san, we have our Christmas episode. And where the bookstore is all like, you know, all getting ready for Christmas, and how much Honda-san doesn't want to wrap gifts for kids.
I don't want to wrap gifts for anybody.
Yeah, but damn.
That's why I get gift bags.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just the wrapping. Oh, Honda-san loves gift bags. Remember, he was like, "I can only handle the bags. I only do bags here." And people were like, they were deciding whether or not they should like, you know, put sets together for sale, because people might not want sets because it's huge. A set of, but then
like, they'll be like, just buy them online.
Yeah, exactly, have a ship to your house. But apparently people in that you know, in that store, you know, they want to buy sets, they want to take home $20 all at once.
The manager knows what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly, she knows what the customers want. And then we have a little bit of Honda's ideas of like angry customers, like, I want this thing, I'm like looking for last minute gifts. But thankfully the customers that they can encounter seem to be open to, like, you know, really good ideas. They were open to suggestions. It's like, I'm looking for this book, won by this award. I don't remember what the book is. How about this one? Sure, sounds good.
He was like, that was good enough.
Yeah. And then the other woman, what she want? A feel-good book?
Yeah, and the bandage lady was, like, gonna take her to the BL section.
She's like, yeah, I don't feel good was about the BLs. And then the lady was an older lady. I'm looking for this feel-good book for my granddaughter.
Or grandchild.
Or grandchild, yeah. I was like,
gender was even specified.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh.
No gender, no age.
No age. Here, BL. Let's feel good.
It's good for everybody.
Yep. I don't think so.
Maybe she's 16. We don't know. This old, pretty old lady or grandchild could be 16.
Exactly. We need some peripherals here. So, Christmas shopping, guys. Don't buy your last-minute gifts at a bookstore. I know. Actually, you could. That's what it was saying. Like, you could buy your last-minute Christmas gifts.
Don't try and make your Christmas gifts some kind of rare collectible item.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be hard.
Unless it's not a last-minute gift.
Yeah. And then after that, it was a nice closing, because we talked about the closing of the bookstores. Not like the bookstore shut down. I mean, like, what happens at the end. They talk about different shifts, part-timers, which we never met before.
Because they really, when they show Honda in the bookstore, it just seems like during normal store hours.
Yeah, exactly. So we never really talk about, like, oh, and we talk a little bit about what happens in the morning when they're trying to set everything up. That was, like, the first episode. And we have the second episode. I mean, the last episode, which is about what happens when they need to close a bookstore. So they need to make sure they got all the money for the books they sold. So they had to tally up each of the registers. They count money really quickly. I can't count money that quickly. Very bad at that. And they need to clean everything up. And then tomorrow everything starts all over again. I would love to see more of with Honda-san. Yeah, but with this kind of series, I don't think they're gonna, you know, put out another season for it. Even though it's, like, really short, really sweet. The only one I know that's, like, keeps on coming up for one of these shorts But it's not like Honda-san, because Honda-san actually is like a like 10 minutes, like, you know, of a series.
Like half an episode.
Yeah. So that was pretty unique. But the only one I know that's like a 5 minute, like, you know, Yonkoma type series is Rainy Coco. Rainy Coco, the cafe, which is weird because I don't know why it continues. I guess it's because of the seiyuu backing it. Because the episodes itself are never connected in any way. It's not like sport, it's not like, you know, episodic, like, where you can talk about different things that happen. And Rainy Coco is like, things legitimately happen, except that we don't see it happen altogether. The next episode will be like, oh, this thing happened, and then it's supposed to happen somewhere in between, and then we don't know why, and, like, you know, people have conversations, and...
Is it like Haruhi, where they just, all the episodes are out of order?
No, it's not out of order. They actually just continue it. Like, there was a fight that they got into, and we only hear about the fight afterwards, okay? Because we only had one conversation about it, and then afterwards, like... They had even more, so it was like it was very disconnected. But the only reason why I like Rainy Cocoa is because of the seiyuu. So I'm just guessing that's the reason why Rainy Cocoa did so well and has like three, four seasons. Yeah, but it's a 5 minute episode though. Yeah, there's a lot of veteran veteran seiyuus in there, so that's why I feel like, you know, it did so well. Got a lot of drama CDs too. May brought up our Shining days. It's something I was showing the girls this past weekend. It's worth noting, actually, because it's a really good Chinese movie. It was it's on Netflix currently, Our Shining Days. Don't ask me to say the Chinese name, because aside from Sao Nian, which is young people, I don't know what the other part of it. Anyways, the story is about a music school in China that is separated between classical instruments versus traditional Chinese instruments.
They're the same school, right? Why do they still have different uniforms?
Yeah, I don't know. And they made it seem like the classical section had really set uniforms, dark color, like, you know, a bow, while the traditional wore almost like jumpsuits at times. Yeah, so it was really specific about which like section of the school like you're part of, and it just like it started open with people having actual physical fights against each other. But then like we follow the story of a girl who plays the yangqing, which is an instrument, like it's a string instrument that you hit it with using sticks. But it's a really good instrument, and and one of my friends actually plays a Thai version. Pearl plays a Thai version of that kind of instrument, and then she decides to create a band herself so that she can show the guy that she likes, who's a pianist in the classical section.
I can't believe she still liked him after he insulted her.
Yeah, pretty much, because that was like the first thing is like she's very naive and she's like, oh, I like you, and he's like, no, I don't take you seriously, which is really insulting as is. And then because he's very serious,
it's not just that he had like another good reason, like, ah, I'm not gonna focus on love right now because I'm gonna go study abroad.
Yeah, that made actually sense, like, yeah. And then it just slowly, as you said, become even more insulting. Like, you know, his groupies did not like her at all. We have a violinist that's always like following after him, as well as a shota boy, glasses, who is like always praising him. And but it's interesting to note, aside from the beautiful music that's in the story, and like if you see the commercial for it, it shows one of the climax quote unquote battle scenes between classical versus traditional. It's like a single hallway where like they duke it out like with Flight of the Bumblebee. It's a really impressive, though some people may not say so, but it was really impressive. But it's like, it's interesting to note, that was like a interesting surprise for all of us, that they have otaku in this series. So the lollies. So the group that she because she needed to find some people that, you know, to play with her as the band so she can, like, you know, show how legit they are. And people in the traditional group did not want to, like, you know, create a band with her for whatever reason. And so
they're like, you're always getting in trouble, you're not serious.
Yeah. You're always making hot pot in the practice rooms.
They were banned from the practice room for doing that.
Yeah, for making food in the practice room. using, like, you know, the water cooler and all that kind of stuff, an iron, cooking it, legit stuff, hiding food in the piano benches. I do that.
Don't they get roaches?
I don't leave it in the piano bench. I put it there, and then I eat it this afternoon. Anyways, no roaches. Anyway, so the group that they got was the girls from Dormitory 502, which is the outcast from the traditional. They're the outcast because they don't associate with anybody else except for each other. We turn out they're all otaku.
One of them wears a kigo all the time and doesn't talk.
Yeah, she's salty. She doesn't talk. She communicate by cell phone. Yeah, and then two lollies. Awesome. And one cosplayer. Legit, like, you know, ikemen type cosplay. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's my idol. She's like, she's the leader of the group. Yeah.
Well, when the other guy was like, I want to join you, she was like, you're not pretty or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You're not like 2D.
You're not good looking or something. I was thinking, oh, yeah, she makes a better looking guy than he does. And then suddenly he took off his shirt and glasses and braces and he was fine.
Yeah, exactly. Braces automatically, magically disappeared. And then both of the main characters, like, he was like, yeah, no glasses anymore. Contacts now. Except they never talk about contacts.
I don't understand why she thought just because she made a video explaining what the Yangqing was that, what's his name, would fall for her now.
Yeah, exactly. Wei Wan?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Not his name.
I don't understand why that case was either. Yeah, but the girl that she basically enlists to be in her band is an internet sensation. She has her own, like, Lord of the Thousand Fingers. She has, like, her own cult following in the otaku sec. So, and they actually played at an anime convention, which I'm telling you has to be a legit convention. Obviously, I've never been to a Chinese convention before. And the place they chose looks like a really beautiful building, actually. It's not like a warehouse. It looks like a really beautiful building. I have a feeling that they actually went to an actual convention because the number of people they pulled into this seems to be... Because they would have to have, like, for that scene alone, they would have to have, like, you know, 100-something people at least, like, you know, to be milling around. So I'm going to look it up to see, like, if it is. But I feel like it is. That scene where they were at the convention performing was really nice. One of my favorite. And of course, like, the climax scene where they actually performed at the hall, the concert hall, was, like, really cool. And there is a small romance in there. There is, like, some funny some scenes where I can, like, hint at VL between, like, the pianist and his posse. And May, you totally called out, like, the guy that the one of the main character guys is actually an otaku. You called it out even before, like, when you saw the otaku crew, and you're like, oh, he's probably an otaku as well.
When he led her to them, and he, like, knew a lot about how these people think already.
Yeah, even though he never really talked with them. And then he totally pulled out. It's like, oh, I know who you are just by seeing your ring. And FYI, the Lord of a Thousand Fingers, Kuroshi Tsuji fan. She had to, like, buy their trust by buying them figures.
Which they translated as garage kits.
Yeah, my explanation for Netflix is probably that because, you know, the usual translation for those are models.
Yeah, something you would have to build in a garage.
Yeah. So that's why that's for a lot of, like, Western audiences, that's what probably, like, Netflix.models was. So I should write a message to Netflix. It's not Chinese. It's not about the Chinese words. It's about how they translated models to garage kits. It's not. Though what they're referring to is actual figures. Yeah, that cost a lot of money.
But less so than garage kits, I'm assuming.
Figures?
Yeah.
No, a garage. What they were thinking about when they were talking about garage kits, you're thinking about, like, making car figurines and, like, you know, stuff. And
like a big Gundam figure or something.
Yeah, depending on which one. Because, like I said, when I buy a Gundam, if I buy an HG Gunpla, it's only about $30, less than $30. Like, the HG that I get is usually $20 to $25. So, obviously, if you get like perfect grade Gundams are like really, really big ones. That, yeah, would be like, you know, in the hundreds, like 80 something to over 100. But figures, you know, our Nendos are $50 each. The ones that they were looking at, I don't know the RMBs, because I don't know what how the one that she was looking at was like 765 RMBs. We can just look it up. But basically, like when we were like talking about it, figures in itself are in the like almost $100, or practically 100. So it's like, yeah, figures are expensive. The Cardcaptor Sakura figure that we're looking at, 300. What'd she say?
You can only afford to eat dirt for the rest.
Yes. Of your life. Oh my god. When he was like, yeah, it's like she was like, oh, it could just be cheap. It's not gonna be that expensive.
It's just a doll, right?
Yeah, it's just a doll. And then she's like, you're gonna have to eat dirt for the rest of her life, because she basically said she was only gonna buy them one figure. But then they were saying, like, one figure a week that they get to practice together.
Well, that's why I was like, when she offered them that, I was saying, well, can't you, if you're going to spend that much on them, can't you just hire anybody to work with you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, damn, like, that kind of money. And he actually called her out. Are you a little heiress or something like that? Because those things are expensive. Because before I realized it was a mistake, that it was, I thought it was like actually Gunpla and not like figures. I thought they were going to go for expensive like Gunpla, like in the hundreds or something like that. In any case, our Shining Days. I love it. It was a really good movie. Soundtrack is, what were we talking about the soundtrack? You were saying that the soundtrack might be mostly Vocaloid.
Oh, well, I think some of it was, but like, one track that I looked at was Vocaloid. I mean, I think they all come from somewhere, like, it's not original music.
Yeah. Sounds like something like China
Except
would
Except for the vocal parts that they sing.
Because Our Shining Days, like, the production value, it seemed pretty good, actually. But knowing China, I don't know, like, if they, how much copyright permission did they get? Because they actually use, boxes from Japan, they had a Mikazuki figure, and I recognized it, and then the CL figurines over there, and they don't hide, like, you know, these are actual the stuff that you see at the convention. Obviously we had like a couple of Narutos, Kakashis in the mix as well, aside from Token Rambu stuff. But overall, I feel like the movie is like a very good, you know, personification of, like, you know, of how music is. Unfortunately, it's like, you know, it's showing like the decline of traditional music, but also shows like they're pushing for it. Like, traditional music could be really cool.
It's like, even they're otaku, they're not like lazy. They work hard. They know their history and
exactly
everything.
And they know the history better than other people who don't. Yeah, who know the history. She's like, you know, they're
they practice their music. They're good at it.
Yeah, just because you're not part of the in crowd doesn't mean that they're idiots.
And it's just like it's just that their parents are like, how are you gonna make money doing these things?
Yeah, I really do hope more people picks up traditional and doesn't die out, because it's such a beautiful, it's a beautiful culture. Anything else you want to share about the movie?
I don't think so.
CG is really bad. Fireflies don't look like that. But we're just gonna handle it. Everything is 2D, so we're gonna keep it that way. Overall, the cinematography, there's no cinematography. It's in the middle of a school in China. But yeah, how they shot it was really good.
I thought they would talk about BL a little. Hoping they would.
Yeah.
When he was telling her how to bribe them, and he was like, oh, there's one word you can use if they refuse.
Oh my god, yes. BL.
Wasn't it? It's garage kits.
Garage kits. Alright, that's all the time we have today. We will talk more about the last episode for Dakaichi in the next episode. And we'll be going back to Nozaki-kun. Look forward to it.
Bye.
Bye.